Father, we just thank you that we can come together this morning. We ask you, Lord, that as we go to your word, you make it real and, enable us to receive it, to appropriate it, to make it ours, to realize, Lord, that through it, through your word, you change us, you transform us, you empower us, you give us your salvation. And so, Lord, that we may cherish it and go to it, Lord, in faith, believing, accepting it, and putting it to work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So appropriating your identity in Christ. You see, when you know who you are, that's all you need to have. Because you are a son of God if you are born again. If you are not born again, what are you waiting for? What's the best things that you can have? In life, God loves you, God cares about you, and God has a plan for you, individually, personally. We start with Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope." You know, it doesn't stop there, but that, even that's enough. Lots of people think that God is going to take away things from them, the things that they enjoy and have fun with. And it's just the opposite that he are telling us. You see, all the things that are evil he's going to take away, and he's going to give us peace and good things, a future and a hope. So if we don't believe that, and that's where the problem is, people don't go out, don't follow God, don't open to God, is they don't believe that God cares for them and they want to bless them. They think that making their choices, they make the best things for themselves. That's why they end up doing the wrong thing, because they think that's a good thing for them. In reality, if God says it's not a good thing, it's not a good thing. Because he knows better. You know, it's like the parents that say, don't eat dirt or don't do the wrong thing because it's going to hurt you. Don't cross the street. And the little child that is too ignorant to know any better, just there jumping off the sidewalk and go in front of a car coming. And this is the image that really is true for lots of people that are grown-ups, but they have the mind of a child because they do not understand spiritually some truth. And we have to, our job is so powerfully to open their eyes. But God is not thinking about doing evil things to you, but they're going to be bringing you peace and a future. I mean, your future, you don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to worry about it. Because it's in his hand, and if you follow his direction, he's going to take you there. So we have to understand that. But we have a part we play in fulfilling God's plan. You see, God plans things, but his will is not always done. And this is the problem with people that says God is in control and believe that because God is in control, he can fix everything. That's not the truth. God is in control in the terms that doesn't have puppets moving according to his plan. What we do makes a difference. God's desire is for everyone to be saved, everyone to know him, everyone to be blessed. But look at the world, are they blessed? This is not God's plan, and this is why Jesus asked us to pray. Because if we don't need to pray, I mean, if God has fixed everything, why are you wasting your time praying? It's all fixed. We make a difference with our prayers. I mean, even statistically, there have been studies done in areas like the Middle East, which is really one of the worst areas that you can have for peace. There is no peace there. And they got a number of people, a large number of people, to pray together as an experiment to see the impact that they would have, to pray for peace. And that period in which these people pray, the statistics drops enormously of the type of things that were happening in that area. I mean, not just something a bit. I mean, was statistically significant the difference in the atrocities and the violence that was taking place. They had dropped enormously. When they stopped, everything went back to the same place it was before. We make a difference. You make a difference. And so God give us a responsibility. Otherwise, you know, he wouldn't have said, you know, you go. Or Jesus wouldn't have said, all power and authority is given unto me, therefore you go. Why? Because we have a part, we pray, in fulfilling God's plan. God expects us to do our part. That puts the responsibility on believers. But many people don't like responsibilities. Well, that's the sad part. So let's continue on this Jeremiah chapter 29. It says, then, you see, when we got to the place when we believe in Jeremiah 29:11, then something else happened. Okay, because we believe in that. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You see, the fact that he listened to us is based on the fact that we believe that he is actually wanting our good and he cares about us. See, our faith makes all the difference in the effectiveness of our prayers. When I pray for people, I know the results I'm going to get before I start. Because I know within myself, I can go within myself, and I know the place where my faith is. And when I know that my faith is okay, I know I'm going to get the results. But some other times, for one reason or another, I'm just human as you are. My faith may not be there, and the results are going to be much less. We are channels of God's power, or pipes through which God's power goes through. When our pipes is blocked, there is not much power going on. Hello? So we have to understand that we can learn what we can do, and we can recognize where we are at a certain time, if we are in faith, the way the Bible says. And we know, we should know that. If we grow with the Lord, after some experience, we know exactly where we are at each moment. It's why I had that survey, because you should learn to know where you are. Because depending on where you are, tells you what you have to do. Fooling yourself doesn't help anybody. So, really, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. This is implied that you are connected with God. God is listening to you, and you are receiving, be able to receive from him. And you will seek me and find me. And this is a promise. I mean, this is not saying, well, you're going to go into be there. And going to... No, it says very clearly, and Jesus repeated that in the New Testament, seek and you shall find. Okay, you shall seek me and you will find me. So this is a promise that God said to you. When you start believing what the scripture that comes before, when you start believing that he cares about you, that when you start believing that God is there to help you and his plan for you is good plan, then you don't need to be afraid of God. You have to go to God and you start to receive. And he's listening to you because you're believing him. It's a promise. And when you search with all your heart, that's what's going to happen. You see, you cannot do it halfway. The beatitude we just finished saying, you know, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. See, this is, again, this has to be a hunger, a desire inside ourselves, a thirst within ourselves that we wanted badly. Why do we need this? Well, there is a reason for that. It's because we don't want it badly in the flesh. It has to be our heart has to want it. We have to have a desire inside ourselves to be connected with God. And when that desire is there, has to be stronger than the desires of the lusts of the flesh. Because otherwise, we are going to go after other things. We are going to spend time in other things. The time that we should dedicate and separate ourselves unto God. Things are not going to happen just by themselves. You see, God has done everything that needed to be done. Jesus said, it is finished. It's our time. We had to do something. Well, lots of people waste their time asking God to do things that he has already done. They do not realize that the things that, you know, they should tell themselves what they should be doing. And then they'll get the answer that they want. Lots of prayer is a waste of time. Prayer should be mostly directed to God, so that he give us the understanding and the wisdom and the direction in our life so that we know what to do. Because we don't need to ask him anything. He knows our needs before we even start. He knows them much better than we do ourselves. And he has provided for them even before we start praying, even before we were born. So, it says, you know, I give you a future and a hope. And that's what where we had to get to really is to start appreciating what is the hope that we have. Because that hope is not to win the lottery. Or to get a good job. Those things... The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. So don't worry about that stuff. Don't sweat the detail. Go after the real thing. Okay? So go in Colossians chapter 1. Today's introduction. Introduce the topic. So maybe taking longer even one time because we need to understand. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26 says, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. I mean, we have no excuse not to know what God wants to do. We don't have to wonder what God is going to do next. Because it's saying here that it's been revealed. It's the mystery that what everybody doesn't know. I mean, they don't know what's going to happen. We know. We read the Bible. And we had Revelation. Okay? I mean, not just the book of Revelation. We have revelation about what the Bible says. Because there is much more than what the book of Revelation says. That's just the part. Okay? It's been revealed to his saints. Are you a saint? Either you are or you aren't. All right? So, verse 27. Then God, to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. You see, the idea is God has made known the mystery to the Gentiles. The Jews don't even know yet. Even today. Because otherwise, they'll follow Jesus. Okay? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we just could talk a lot about what glory means, but really, we talked about, I think, last sermon. I mean, glory is an exalted state. It's the state in which God is. It's a state that we get when we get closer to God. See, God doesn't want to keep the glory for himself. He gives it to us. See, the hope of glory, his desire. I mean, Christ in us, he's the hope of glory, is the place we are going to be when we get where God wants us to be. I mean, this is exciting. Then we have to understand that Christ in us is not something in the future. It's something right now. If you are born again, Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is in you. Right now. With all the implications for that being so. I mean, there are consequences. I mean, God's Spirit is inside you and he's not just there to take a ride. Is to manifest himself. Is to show himself strong. Is to operate, is to work through you to do the things that he wants to do. Is not to do the things that are worldly. Is to do heavenly things, to do spiritual things, to do things that he wants to achieve in the world. Okay? So this is where he wants us to get. And we want us to have a different perspective. It says that those that are according to the flesh, may mind the things of the flesh. Those are working to the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. See, you have to get to the place where you start minding the things of the Spirit instead of the things of the flesh. Because that's the time when Christ in you is going to be starting to manifest. You're going to start yielding to the presence of Christ in you. Are you following me? So this is so important. The thing is, always people talk about, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Let's take that one step at a time. That we probably end with this scripture today. There says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You see, this is something that we have to see. This is the manifestation of the love of God. Why is the manifestation of the love of God? Well, we certainly, 1 John 3, 1. This is the manifestation of the love of God. Because his love, because of his love, he has done that. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it even today. He has done it because this is his initiative. His desire. And this desire is determined by the fact that he loved us even if he blew it in Adam. Okay, it's the love of God. And we have to see that as a manifestation of the love of God. Otherwise we get off a tangent. See, this is God's love for us. I mean, I have Christ in me, the hope of glory, not because I'm special, but because God loved me. Not because I'm so spiritual, not because of anything, not because I deserve it, not because of... No, the only thing is that God loves me, and this is why he made it possible for me to be transformed, to change, and to have his Son's Spirit inside me. That we should be called children of God. See, that's the thing we can be called. I mean, we are His children. He just loved us, so that, you know, He's just not the Father of Jesus, it's our Father too, because we are His children, because we have accepted Jesus, because Jesus is in us. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. See, the thing is, the world cannot understand this. This is a spiritual thing, and unless your spiritual eyes are open, you may feel there is something different, but you have no clue. Even after some time you are born again, at the beginning, the understanding is so limited, because our mind cannot catch up even now. I know, you know, after close to 40 years, more than 40 years I've been following, walking with the Lord, even now I can start seeing some stuff that I never saw before. And every day I see more. And I can appreciate more. And I can really see the love that He has for us. And I can be grateful about it. Beloved, now we are the children of God. See, it doesn't say, you know, we're the sons of God. You know, it's just right now. We don't need to wait for something to happen in the future. If you are born again, He's talking about with born again believers here. Says, now you are a child of God. Cannot say that to anybody else. And we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And anyone that has his hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. I mean, this scripture is so loaded with truth, that powerful truth, that should help us to be motivated to go all the way, to be ready to do anything for Him. First of all, you know, this love that God has, that we are called His children, that He's calling us that way, that He's allowing us to be His children. And the fact that even now that this truth has not yet been revealed, what we shall be. I mean, we are still in the way. We are children of God now, but we are not fully manifested. We are not really fully implemented. It's something happening in us that we are getting there. But it's not our work. See, we cannot do it ourselves. We cannot make ourselves righteous. We cannot make ourselves worthy. He is making us that way. And we have to understand how to allow Him to make that reality for us. He doesn't do anything against our will. He just let us do what we want to do. You see, He's not controlling us. He's not a demon. See, that's what demons do. God expects His children to love Him back and to follow Him and to be His children, to act. You see, what the child does when in a family, when there is a business, family business, and the father expects often that the child carry on the business that they are having through. When there is a family business. And they do things for the family. This is God's invention, the family. And so that's what happens here too. He expects us, as part of His family, to be children that carry on His business. That's what we are doing today. Or we should be doing today. So now it's not yet revealed, but the revelation, it's happening step by step. And it's not by our own effort. It's just us yielding to the Holy Spirit and the time we are in. See, in the last 50, maybe 100 years, the degree of revelation that's been in the body of Christ is unbelievably just correspond, you know, it's correspond actually to the revelation in this technical world. I mean, technology and information on science is expanding very rapidly. But so is the spiritual knowledge. Not for everybody. And that's never said for everybody. Okay, but the one that follow him, they have more understanding today than the biggest saints of the past. You read some of the material of people that are really considered great saints of 100 years ago, and you read through it, you know, you see lots of theological stuff that is completely off. That didn't make them less important for the time we're in. They were in. They contributed, they made their contribution in the time by being open to the Spirit of God to bring the revelation, because revelation always comes from God, not from men, not from reasoning, not from arguments made by men. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us the truth. He brings us to know the truth. So that's part of God's sovereignty. Okay, this is the part that he plays. He brings the truth when we are ready. When the time was ready, Jesus came. He was working on humanity for all these years before. And when the second coming is coming, it's because we are ready for the second coming. Amen? We have to understand the time and allow the Spirit to minister to us so that we keep up with Him. You know, lots of people say, I go ahead of God. You cannot do that. I mean, God goes much faster than you think. And He knows what He's doing. It's just that we don't go ahead, we go off a tangent. But you think this revelation is coming to us, and we are going to be like Him because we are able to see Him. That means we understand. We have experience. And we operate the way He operated. See, we shall be like Him. It's not a question that we look like Him. It's that the result is what He said, you know, the work that I do, you shall do also, a greater work than this you shall do. Enjoy. That's what He's talking about. And the time for that to happen is, I believe now. There is evidence all over the world that more and more people do things that before were not heard of. I mean, walking in the supernatural. Healing taking place just like it happened here. It just happens. Not because somebody is trying to spread the doctrine. It's happened because it's the time. And we shall be like Him, because we see Him as He is. So when we talk about our identity, okay, our identity in Christ is to be like Him. Right? That's exactly the thing. So, but be able to be like Him is not to try to imitate or to do something. Is that our perception, our understanding, our revelation of Him has to be such that we can become that. So that we can see ourselves that way. That's what's going to be all the difference. You cannot do that in your own abilities, forget it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit is going to come together with the Word of God. You know, what does it say? He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. See, it's the Word of God coming to us and producing the change. Hallelujah. This is exciting. See, I want to see, this is why I said that I passed around the survey today. I was praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to be able to see the way the Word works in people and the change it take place. And He gave me the idea of the survey. He says, okay, just see where they are now and see the way they are after. The same way as you do when you pray for people for healing. Okay? What do I do often when I pray for people? I ask, Does it hurt? Or what's the symptom? How bad it is? 1 to 10. When they finish, well, okay, what is now? Well, 3. Okay, well, it's not good enough. Let's pray again until he's gone. Is 0? Yes, now it's finished. Well, we want to do a bit the same in our spiritual walk, because, you know, a spiritual walk is so abstract that it's difficult to assess the progress we really made. But if we get some statistics of where the people are before and after, and we can see a change, we say we got some places. And if we don't get enough change, well, maybe we have to do some more work. Amen? All right, so for today we finished. Did you get anything today? All right, are you excited about the topic? I think this is a good topic. I think that can change your life if you really grasp onto it. But you know, I cannot do it for you. I cannot preach to you on Sunday and make the changes. You have to do some work yourself. You have to apply yourself. You have to apply yourself with consistency, you know, to it over the period of time. All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. Lord, your plan that you have for us is clear. Lord, let us have clear minds, be clear-minded about what you want to do. And be willing, Lord, to pay the price, which is, Lord, really not a price at all, but is a blessing. But we have a part we play. We have to take a step. We have to make some decisions. Help us, Lord, to be willing and to take those steps that you're calling us to do that are different for each person of us. But Lord, no matter what, by following your steps, always, we are going to be blessed. And we just thank you, Lord, for we know that you love us, you care for us, and you are going to give us peace and a future and a hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next week.